And welcome back, folks. This is Truth versus News on July the 30th, Tuesday. And we just had a heck of a first element. Really started off with war and talk about war on the Olympic level and world and war. It's a world in tumult. Is there any other story that we have to add to this tumult, Jim?
Scott, I'm keen on your reaction to the events at the Olympics, which are rather shocking in various respects, and the noble statement of the Archbishop. Your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot of layers to that, Jim. And from a cool, intelligent, detached, observant point of view, which is always the seat upon which we wish to sit when we analyze these things, not to get into their sand trap, into their emotional hysteria and volatility. But when we step back, we see a variety of things happening. The Russian media, for example, and press TV and other foreign media were aghast and were exploding with commentary and stories and messages about how horrible and disgusting and outrageous and how offensive this was on so many different levels, how symbolic it was of the moral decadence and deterioration and death of Western civilization, and others have said that too. So they don't celebrate it with smiles as an enemy would. Maybe China and its silence is, because China doesn't give any moral equivalence to this action, which tells you a lot. You know, you don't get in the way of your enemy when he's destroying himself. But Russia and Iran certainly did get in the way to try and electroshock some common sense back into their media and their airwaves to analyze this. So it tells me on that level, Russia and Iran are not the enemies of Christian conservative people who share the opinion that this was a demonic expression of evil. And that's important to understand. The other thing is, this is a test on a variety of levels, but most importantly, to test the reaction of the indigenous people of Europe, of America. What are the reactions certain liberal left-wing kamikaze fanatics are going to be measuring and accumulating the data on? Because if they don't object to the meat thermometer being jammed up their ass a little bit, then they're not going to object with the whole thing being pounded all the way up, sticking out their mouth. That's the test. That's their observation. It's like a COVID-19 test. How much are they going to endure? How much is the American church going to endure? Are they going to say anything? What about the schools? What about the school boards? What counties? What states? What is the reaction? What are the channels going to be saying? Who are the particular voices expressing white-hot angry outrage versus the tepid, lukewarm versus those that are completely oblivious? So this is a test of the moral life force within the West. The moral life force is very strong in traditional cultures in the Middle East, in Russia, even in Asia. But again, China is grinding its axe in preparation for inevitably taking over as much of America and California and other parts that it can in the next 100 years. That's how the Chinese think. They're like ants. So we're witnessing a testing. The question becomes, is there going to be an opportunity, for example, for American patriotic Trump supporting conservatives? I don't know, honestly, and maybe Brian and you can fill in the blanks, but what exactly is Trump and his entirety of his team, what are they articulating about? Not just, it's pretty bad, it's terrible, it's ugly, we shouldn't allow it. Anybody can say that. You know, Roger Rabbit or the giraffe from Toys R Us can say that. But are they giving an intelligent sociological breakdown, political breakdown of just how horrible this is? Or is Trump listening to Jared Kushner and his daughter, who are part of that lifestyle, who dance around with the faggots painted blue and doing Dionysus things like they do in Tel Aviv? What is Trump's response going to be on this? It tells a lot. So what are the American people going to do? Are they going to use this? And for example, Jim, that just video that you showed That was produced by an Indian channel, by Indian producers. Are American conservative Trump supporting Republican patriot Christians going to the Indian temples where they worship the blue monkey god with multiple spindly arms and the elephant gods and every other thing in their pantheon? Are we going into those people to say, hey, if you find this objectionable, if you are horrified and disgusted by a bunch of bearded transvestites luring your little boys and girls to be sexually exploited and all of this symbology, which mocks the conservative religion, guess what? The next thing is going to be taking parts of your Hinduistic texts and your Hinduistic gods and mocking them. That's the progression that they're pursuing. Are we using that to build bridges into these communities and to awaken them and to say it is not only good and healthy for you to object, it's necessary for you to object if you're going to save anything worth saving in the United States? Are we doing this in Hindu temples? Are we doing this to Muslims? Are we doing this to any of the communities within America or beyond to say this is what we are fighting and need to stand against? And we cannot tolerate it. And everyone that is behind this, everyone that thinks that this is okay, is a sick, demented fool or a demonically possessed monster, both of which are intolerable in any modern civilized society. So I think this is a great test for the health of society or the impending death of the society, Jim.
Well, even though as an agnostic, I'm not a Christian, I found this drag parody of the Last Supper vile and disgusting beyond words. Brian.
How do I feel about this? I was a bit confused coming out of the Biden resignation, Harris, stepping in, Trump assassination, false flag. And then I saw these Olympic ceremonies, and I was reminded of something that I think is more important than any of the Machiavellian machinations that take place in all of our political and global world. I was reminded of what I think is the most important thing in this world, which is you can only see the stars at night. It takes pitch black in your atmosphere to be able to see glory. And as sin increases, grace itself increases. Now, these people aren't exhibiting their depravity because they're innocent. They're exhibiting their depravity because they're guilty and they can't find the salvation or they think it's not available to them. I can assure you and every single person in this audience, it doesn't matter how far you've fallen. As a matter of fact, the farther you've fallen, the greater the glory. There's a chance for every single person in this world to repent. And we see the depravity and it offends. But you think Christ hasn't seen worse things when he sees a good man that he might like or, watch pornography? You think he doesn't see what happens in the closets in darkness? Is this sin really that terrible? I can go read police reports about murders. That's black and white on paper. But think about the true nature of that murder, one man creeping upon another in the darkness with the intention of taking his life and destroying him. This is what our world is. Be aware that our wars that we spend our money on, our military apparatus, is not about peace. It's about destruction. And one thing that you have to be reminded of when it's all said and done is something Paul said. If this is not, our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities and the forces in the dark realms. Put on the full armor of God, purify your heart, confess your sin, and any man can do it. And I can guarantee you, Jesus Christ is alive, but he rarely pulls the iconoclast act. That was a one-time deal. All throughout history, he's done Babel. He's done a number of different events where he shows judgment to try to correct a people group or he'll even destroy a people group. And in time, that may happen. I don't wish it upon any people group anywhere, because I think there's probably some relatively decent people in there, although the hearts of man are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And this goes back to the very beginning, the first sin. It's built into us. It's built into our DNA. We're descendants of Adam. It's all of us sin, fall short of the glory of God. And I'm glad they did it. Let them show their true nature. Maybe the rest of the world will wake up and no longer choose to tolerate this insanity. It's insanity.
Well, Jim, there's one point, just let me make real quick. This is an illustration, again, of how law makes culture. Law controls culture. The reason you didn't have a homosexual opening of the Olympics in 1971, for example, was because laws would have prohibited it. Laws didn't allow indecency or anything like that in 1971 to be expressed on TV. The laws of 2024 have changed to allow it. And it's important to understand, law creates culture. So these sort of exhibitions are controlled by law. And Brian's right. Yeah, there's spiritual darkness. But we have the mechanisms through law to stop this from ever happening again. We can make laws and prohibit and shut down any video presentation of those sort of things. And arrest people, in fact, and charge them and throw them in jail like Russia does. We can do that if we have the will to make such laws and exercise them. It's important to understand, law makes culture, culture makes life. And the culture we're allowing, the fruits of death we're allowing to grow, because we don't have the law to cut them down, those seeds are going to spread like a cancer and increasingly devour society in sin. Jim?
I want to say one more thing too, okay? First of all, the original Olympics were all competed in the nude. It was a competition of full nudeness. I mean, obscenity. I mean, think about how obscene that would be to see two men, naked men wrestling. That's about as gay as you can get. Going back to the Greeks, you know, this is rotten. That's the very foundation of the Olympic Games. And secondarily, down here in Texas, we do have obscenity laws. If you get caught peeing outside, you're going to get a ticket. If you show something that you shouldn't show, you're going to be arrested. Now, when I went to Portland, Oregon, the very first time, way back when I was a kid, I realized walking down the street that they had no obscenity laws whatsoever. And I got to tell you, it sickened me. It sickened me to see these women dancing. It felt like the red light district in Amsterdam. What a gross display of pure obscenity. So there is a difference, but we do have laws that say it. We just don't enforce them enough. This is pornography in a different style.
Yeah.
Well, since we're expanding our discussion, I'll just add, as an advocate of freedom of speech, which is designed to protect controversial speech, I don't object to performances like that per se. It is rather the context. This was a captive audience. You had a billion or more tuning in for the Olympics, and they were not informed. They were not given a warning there was going to be a sacrilegious event like this that was promoting gay sex, transvestism, drag shows, and the like. That is what I find to be so appalling. And that was done by design, without the public being warned or advised. That is what I find objectionable about this here. If they want a parody religion, that's okay with me. Do it in a circumstance that may be fitting and accommodating. This, in my opinion, was not it. And it was wrong.
I agree.
I think all your comments are quite valuable and informative. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Biden is out and Kamala's in. Disenchanted voters are taking a new look at their choices. Check this out.
God.
Kamala for president. I'm so excited she's our nominee. Wow, there's a lot going on. So Biden had to step out. He can't run anymore because he's mentally impaired, and that mentally impaired man endorsed Kamala for president. Makes sense to me. Kamala's our guy. Kamala, I'm with her. That's what we're saying now, right? We want Kamala. We want Kamala. She's gonna fight that evil Trump to save our democracy. And get this, she's the nominee because the DNC took away Biden's support, money, and delegates to push him out. He then wrote a resignation letter from being the nominee to officially step down. And it had a forged signature on it. That's not an insurrection, is it? And then suddenly the delegates pick Kamala as their nominee for president instead of the voters having any say in it. That's how they do it in North Korea, which is fine because sometimes it's just easier and faster to do it that way. And the result of that whole process is Kamala being the Democratic nominee for president. She'll be in charge of saving our democracy. She'll do a good job of it. She'll be a great president. She's got experience meeting with important heads of state. And when she meets with leaders, she knows how to dive right into the most important matters of world politics.
I want to welcome these leaders for coming in to have this very important discussion about some of the most pressing issues of our time. I am Kamala Harris. My pronouns are she and her. I am a woman sitting at the table wearing a blue suit.
She nailed it! That suit was blue. It was very blue. She did forget to tell them that she's wearing a black mask, though. But those people there probably cracked that mysterious code by using their vision. I'd like to see Trump go against Kamala in a debate. She would demolish him.
Today is today. And yesterday was today yesterday. Tomorrow will be today tomorrow. So live today. So the future today will be as the past today, as it is tomorrow.
Right? She speaks in these parables. It's like listening to the deep wisdom of Lao Tzu speaking in Chinese. Trump wouldn't have a clue what she's saying, which would make him look like a fool. If they had a debate tomorrow, which will be today tomorrow, she would wipe the floor with him. Trump would be shell-shocked. Like the day after the debate, Trump would be looking back at what happened yesterday, which was today yesterday, and what he should be doing today, which will be tomorrow's yesterday. You know, I remember back when people were first trying to figure out what was going on with the Russia-Ukraine war. People were like, what's Russia? What's Ukraine? Are those moons? What are they? But luckily, Kamala explained it all.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Right. So once you understand that those countries are countries, you can understand that's wrong. Now just imagine if she's president, that's the kind of perspective she would bring to all global situations that have people's lives in jeopardy. I would like to see that.
Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California.
Well, but that's not so bad, right? Getting free labor by enslaving people? Anything else would be capitalism, and capitalism's wrong, right? It's wrong, right? It's wrong. That laugh is infectious, kind of like AIDS. But the good kind of AIDS, like from Magic Johnson, not the 1980s gay guy kind of AIDS. Oh, also don't forget that Kamala has been the border czar this whole time. She has expertly orchestrated a more secure open border than any other leader in U.S. history. And that's pretty good.
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe.
And
she actually has been to Europe, but definitely hasn't been to the border. And I think having never been there is exactly what's enabled her to do such a good job. It's like a telepathic hands-on approach. It's kind of like how you can do a much better job of raising your kids if you never see them. Oh my goodness, look at that beautiful piece of art portraying Kamala.
Did you know that's made up of pictures of the black men she kept in prison beyond their sentences to use as free labor for the state of California?
No kidding. No, it's just a little enslavement. And you can't save a democracy without breaking some eggs. She's great. Kamala 2024, baby.
I'll tell you a little secret of mine, my friends. I'm always looking to feel more grounded, reduce pain in my body, reduce stress, sleep.
That is just so brilliant. Scott, your thoughts? I mean,
well, that nails Kamala to the wall.
It's a good comedic representation of her, of course, and the Democrat madness, which is, I mean, ultimately, I think, going to consume only the most radical far left lunatic fringes of the Democrat Party. How can you call yourself an American and embrace what they're doing on a party platform unless you're a complete lobotomoid or revolutionary? Anyone who's not those two things looks with nostalgic longing back to the days of Jimmy Carter, of Kennedy, of Walter Mondale, of the classic blue dog Democrats that, had a flavor of Archie Bunker about them, had a Pittsburgh steel worker union, make America great. That's what we erected the country after World War II with. The blue-collar union workers, the Republicans, of course, in their exportation of the industrial base, have a lot to answer for to the American people. You know, we need to come together in the middle and say we need industrial plants in America, not overseas in Mexico, to enrich profiteers and gut and erode our whole middle class, our whole population. That are happy to work at Oshkosh Bagosh and barely have a high school education. It's okay. People don't need to become doctors or lawyers or professors or pilots or anything like that. Everyone has their place in the economic life cycle, and we've abandoned that. So those people who look to longing to the American glory days, I think, have to abandon the current current Democrat Party. And that's not to say that Trump is the best thing since sliced bread. I have to add, Trump has made some very stupid comments about Israel once again, as he always seems to be doing, sticking his foot in his mouth. I understand the politics of throwing red meat to the masses, but when he says we can't allow, Israel, we can't allow the Palestinians to do this. We have to stop them from protesting at universities. When he's backing this Israeli genocide, when he says, if I'm killed by the Iranians, I hope America will wipe them off of the face of the map. He's playing into the Netanyahu Zionist assassination plans. He's playing into, again, a 2.0 that we experienced and suffered under when he was in his first term, this suicidal recklessness versus towards Iran and towards Russia. Trump was responsible for a lot of this stuff and allowing weapons to go to Ukraine and Russia. So foreign policy, he has a lot to answer for. And if he doesn't shift gears and get us in an entirely different direction, all of the great promises he makes about MAGA come to nothing. Because when you isolate the world, you have no one to trade with and you have no one to be friends with, and everybody's your enemy because you're putting yourself as the enemy of everyone else. It's not that the other nations hate us or want to destroy us. It's that we are projecting hatred and the desire to destroy them. We've done it since 9/11. And, everyone hoped Trump would steer us in a different direction. So this presentation of the Kamala Harris Democrat leftist insanity, I think, is ultimately seeping into the minds of the majority of the Democrat voters, but that doesn't make them necessarily Trump supporters. It makes them long for a more reasonable, rational Democrat Party. And that's where the trigger and the trap door may come in, because they could assassinate Kamala Harris, replace her with Barack Obama or Gavin Newsom, whoever she appoints as vice president, when she takes over for Biden before the election. That's going to happen. I'll stake my money on it. They're going to replace Joe Biden with Kamala Harris as president before the election. Then she's going to try to rush through the oath and appoint Barack Obama as her vice president. And then she'll be taken out, and Barack Obama will be made president. And then you'll have this martial law, chaotic Jefferson, Davis, Lincoln, civil war all over again, which Barack Obama has already planted into the minds of Americans using his film Civil War. This is the PSYOP battlefield, folks. Get kaleidoscopically in tune to how all these gears move simultaneously. Jim?
Just bear in mind those events where she was welcoming everyone to a discussion of the most important questions, and she introduced herself as Kamala and gives her pronouns and says she's in a blue dress. When she's talking about today will be tomorrow and all of that, when she talks about explaining the Russia-Ukraine war, that's authentic Kamala Harris. She is that much of a lame brain. She's an airhead. She's a complete moron. So she was obvious grist for the comedic will, but that's as brilliant a parody as I have ever seen of a most deserving subject. Brian, your thoughts?
Well, from what I hear about her, the reason that she sounds like such a dumb, retarded bimbo is that she doesn't do any of the prep work. Anybody could do the work, but my understanding is she doesn't do the prep work whatsoever. And the reason is she hates her staffers because her staffers hate her. She's a lot like Hillary Clinton in that regard, okay? Nobody can tolerate her. She has a lot of self-loathing. Remember how she got her position. She's a prostitute, in essence. I mean, that's really what it was. So she despises herself. This is all a show. But the show is important for all the lame brain MSNBC Democrat watchers who really want to believe that we have free and fair elections. I can tell you for certain that we do not have free and fair elections. Look, they're gaslighting us at the polls every day, all over the place. They've got, interactive poll from Bloomberg just came out. Oh, Harris leads Trump by 11 points in Michigan. Do you believe that? Does anybody believe that? You have to be an absolute dolt to believe that Harris leads Trump by 11 points in Michigan. You got Harris ahead in Arizona. You got Harris ahead in Wisconsin, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania. Hey, everybody. Kamala Harris is ahead in the polls. That is called the fallacy of the masses. Isn't that what it's called, Jim? How does the fallacy of the masses work?
Well, they're really promoting pure propaganda to generate popular opinion. People are supposed to believe it, but it's idiotic. Anyone who understands politics, ridiculous.
Well, I'm going to go this way because everybody else is going to go this way. It's called lemmings. It's the lemming effect, you know? Oh, the crowd's moving this way, so I better go with them. No, sir, not one of our listeners. I hope to God not.
The situation is just absurd beyond belief.
Better.
Kamala.
And here we have Trump promises to ban transgender women reports if he's reelected. Very appropriate. I endorse it. Trump said he'd ban transgenders from participating in women's sports nationwide. We will ban men from participating in women's sports. It's so ridiculous. He criticized Leah Thomas, trans University of Pennsylvania swimmer, who sparked international debate last month, breaking multiple records. She is a man. She won the 1,650-yard freestyle at the Zippy Invitation by 38 seconds. She didn't set a record. She broke school and Ivy League records at a 200. In fact, why are we even referring to her as she? This is a man. He also claimed that a trans woman, whom he didn't name, broke a 20-year record in weightlifting. Trump's language mirrored that of conservative officials in many states over the last years. These are people who think that men participating in women's sports is a good thing. Young girls and women are incensed. They're now being forced to compete against those who are biological males, he said. Absolutely true. It's not good for women. It's not good for women's sports, which work so hard to get where they are. If this does not change, women's sports as we know it will die. He's got it absolutely right. Thomas's critics say her success proves trans women shouldn't be allowed to compete on women's sport team, and that rules governing their participation need to be stricter. I say have three categories of sports: men's sports, women's sports, trans sports. That is the solution. Although some advocates believe the intention behind anti-trans bills is to turn out voters, actually, I think the American people recognize this is simply outrageous. The majority of Americans, 62%, said trans athletes should only be allowed to play on sports teams that correspond to their gender assigned at birth. I agree. Shortly after the poll was published, Merrick Kiesling, then the executive director of the National Center for Transgender Equality, speculated Americans were reacting to the barrage of anti-trans bills. Gallup, she said that as people learn more about trans or meet someone who is trans, public opinion will change. A Gallup poll suggested that might be true. Find people who know someone who's trans are more likely to say trans should be able to play on a team matching their gender identity, with 40% in favor, than people who didn't know. But that's just pathetic. Meanwhile, Kamala's candidacy, a revival of Obama's progressive vision. As Biden steps aside, being deceased, he decided it was no longer worth the effort. Kamala announced her candidacy. There's no question a Harris in the Oval Office would be a continuation of Obama's failed policies. She's shown time again she's aboard policies that would devastate the American economy. From her push for massive tax hike to fund unrealistic Green New Deal project to her unwavering support for higher minimum wages that could crush small businesses. She's never been shy about her desire to undermine the Second Amendment. Her aggressive stance on gun control includes mandatory buybacks and stricter regulation to make it harder for law-abiding citizens to protect themselves. She's been a vocal advocate for open borders, a stance compromising national security and putting Americans at risk. She has been the border czar, and look what we got. Harris's health care is straight out of the socialist playbook. Her support of Medicare for all would lead to the destruction of private health insurance and an overburdened, inefficient government-run system. Her progressive social policies threaten traditional American values. Her strong support for late-term abortion, to her advocacy for radical gender ideologies in schools, she's pushing an agenda many Americans find deeply troubling. Her stance on foreign policy is just as concerning. Her lack of experience and poor judgment could lead to weakened alliances emboldened her adversaries. Her presidential bid is a clear indication of where the Democratic Party stands, far left, out of touch with mainstream America. Her vision for the country threatens our economic prosperity, our constitutional rights, and our national security, no doubt about it. But look at what happened at the RNC.
Hello, Milwaukee! Let me hear you cheer if you support Israel. Let me hear you cheer if you support Israel. Now, if someone tried that at the Democrats' convention, they'd be booed off the stage. But here, at the Republican convention, we proudly and loudly stand with Israel. This election is a critical moment for the American Jewish community and for Israel. This is our chance to continue the incredible pro-Israel legacy of the most pro-Israel president in history, Donald J. Trump. President Trump, among his many accomplishments, many of which they said couldn't be done, but he did it. He moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. They said it couldn't be done, but he weakened the Iranian regime. They said it couldn't be done, but he delivered the historic Abraham Accords, bringing us closer to peace in the Middle East. With President Trump, we will repair and rebuild the U.S.-Israel relationship that has deteriorated after four disastrous years under President Biden. Now, today, 9 months after the historic Hamas attacks, shockingly, President Biden is still withholding critical arms that Israel needs to defend itself. Boo. America must stand with Israel and against the terrorists, especially Iran. We must stand with the Israeli people. Now, my message here today to the Jewish community is clear. There is only one pro-Israel party, and it's the Republican Party. And here at home, under Donald Trump, we will put a stop to the rising tide of anti-Semitism. President Trump will bring back law and order so that American Jews can once again wear a kippah and walk the streets without fear. President Trump will stop the mobs on the college campuses so Jewish students feel safe when they go to class. The Jewish community is ready to help elect Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. The Jewish vote continues to increase for Republicans year after year, and I promise you 2024 will be no different. So let me ask all of you, who will best stand up to the Hamas sympathizers and the squad? Donald Trump! Who will best stand with Israel? Donald Trump! Who will make sure Jews feel safe and secure? Thank you, RNC, for the opportunity to speak today, and thank you, President Trump, for your commitment to elevating Jewish American voices. Together, unified, we will win. Am Yisrael, hi!
I don't know what I find more scary, and here you have J.D. Vance at the Wailing Wall. There's more to it, but the soundtrack not playing. Let me just go to you guys. I mean, what's more scary?
A Zionist Republican Party or a brainless Democratic? Scott, yours.
Well, that's a very good video, Jim, and it paints the middle course of course, the Uniparty, the Republican Zionist Party with the brain dead Democrat Party. This is what George Washington and the Founding Fathers would expect. Would spur and trigger real leaders, real men of intelligence and character. And I wish I was on the stage next to that guy, because I would say simultaneously through the microphone to the people in the convention, ladies and gentlemen, we are here because the United States government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the Constitution for the United States establishes who we make war against, and not the president, and not a bureaucracy, and certainly not the military, but you, the people, because it's you who's fighting and your sons and daughters who are fighting. That being said, no one wants bloodshed. No one wants dead children missing their arms and legs and their faces blown off, regardless of if they're Palestinian or Jewish or Ukrainian or Russian or Chinese or Japanese or anything else. No one wants that. And certainly no American wants that. We're supposed to be the people of compassion and justice. Are we not supposed to be the Captain America? Are we not supposed to be the fulcrum point upon which the balance of life is supposed to be set, as Ronald Reagan and Teddy Roosevelt and Kennedy and everybody else has postulated? If we are the great light on the city on the hill, then we need to behave as light. And light, as rain, comes down and blesses all. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But we're to be about justice. And this presentation of pro-Israel and spitting out all of these perversions of language that equate, Israel standing against enemies is actually Israel standing against women and children and Palestinians who don't have any weapons but are living in tents. And somehow that is a real threat, and somehow that is justifiably a battle zone to annihilate and destroy and bomb and fire missiles at these people. If that's what America stands for, the annihilation of these Palestinians, then we're going to find ourselves not only on the wrong side of the entire world's community, but also on the wrong side of God. And have this Christian Zionist infection where God is somehow subservient to the will of the Jews or the Khazarians or the Ashkenazi or the Zionists, whatever you want to call them, is a complete madness and brainwashing. This person and the government of the United States and the election of presidential candidates is not about any other country than the United States of America. And our sons and daughters and wives and husbands and mothers and fathers and everybody else who is an American citizen who votes in these elections and votes their people into political office to express their moral values, their intelligence analytics. That's what a democracy, a Republican form of democracy, a Republican form of government was supposed to be about. And to hear this individual get up and rail that somehow the elections are now being conflated into an Israeli Zionist political agenda, which incidentally, many people in Israel totally disagree with, many Jewish people totally disagree with, and there are thousands of Jews living in Iran that do not feel safe and or do not feel in danger and do not want to leave Iran. And that applies all over the place. So there, this is an opportunity, Jim, for real leaders to rise up and I think cleanse this infection that has permeated the Republican Party. And if it doesn't, and I've said it before and earlier, if Donald Trump proceeds down this path of pro-Zionist, pro-Israeli warmongering policies, it is only going to result in the devastation and the annihilation of the United States. And maybe that is their plan all along, is to trigger this great parade-like madness. And that's the most disgusting thing to me, is to look and look into all of these people wearing their cowboy hats, wearing their little bandages around their ears, pretending they're Donald Trump sympathizers. I'm waiting to see where the yarmulke wearers are. I bet they were going on there too, passing them out like candy. This reflection of the Republican voters and the Republican conference attendees is a disgusting demonstration of halfwits, retards, and knuckle draggers. Jim?
Brian?
You know, what supposedly was made Abraham special with his monotheism was that he was given a special revelation which he was supposed to deliver, he and his descendants were supposed to deliver out to the rest of the world. And of course, they failed at that. They didn't take that revelation. Instead, they hoarded it to themselves as if they were special people with a special blessing in a special time. And they still today cling to that promise, thinking the purpose was for them to be prosperous and successful. I can assure you that even from a biblical perspective, that was never the purpose, to make these people rich, okay? Christ came along. How did he live his life? He lived his life basically as a pauper. How did he do his travels? He went out and he tried to reach people one at a time with a special and unique message about redemption. He didn't so much get into it with Pontius Pilate or with Herod the Great or with all these local political leaders at the time. Instead, he was more interested in, you know, some poor guy sitting at the gate of the town who couldn't walk, read, or stand up. You know, he was interested in the poor people. And that's what really pissed off the Jews about the entire nature of the situation, was that here this Christ comes along claiming to be the Messiah, showing all indications that he is the Messiah, and he might be threatening the political elite that are trying to make alliances with Rome for their quote-unquote survival. Now, as we know, Christ had the power to clean it all up and deliver them from the yoke of Rome whatsoever, but instead he played the role of the suffering servant and took the message to the rest of the world through his 12 disciples. Basic biblical history. America was founded on a large portion. Every single one of the founding fathers considered the Bible to be inspired. Every single one of the founding fathers considered themselves to be some form of Christian. And I can tell you something. Here's how you can tell the difference between real Christianity and fake, or real Israel and fake. Does it reach out? Does it go out? I'm telling you right now, China has the largest church in the world. They're sending missionaries to America. Yeah, I met one in Seattle on my most recent trip. We are failing and we are losing our purpose as an American. And I'm not just talking about a godly purpose or a biblical purpose, but the purpose was to bless the world. We would be blessed. We would have the resources to bless the world. And we have ignored that calling, and that blessing will be removed from us sooner or later. And so has it from Israel. They are no longer God's chosen people. I will guarantee you that he will not continue forever to tolerate the rotten wickedness that comes out of these guys in terms of DEI and lies and all sorts of other despicable things. By the way, those things happen all around the world, but Israel seems to have a magnifying glass in terms of despicable behavior.
Yes. I think we would all agree with that. Meanwhile, Ursula Vance told her friends Trump abhorred her. Now she's working to elect him. During his rise to America's most prestigious schools, law firms, and judicial clerkships, Ursula Vance rarely, if ever, volunteered her opinions on the nation's bitterly partisan politics to friends and colleagues. But she did express revulsion at former President Trump's actions on January 6, 2021. I wonder if she had any idea at all what was going on. She told friends she was outraged by Trump's incitement of the deadly riot at the U.S. Capitol and lamented the social breakdown that fueled his political support, according to one friend who spoke on a condition of anonymity. Her view at the time contrasted with her later pronouncements of her husband and Trump's newly minted running mate, J.D. Vance, who has downplayed the storming of the Capitol and called participants who were jailed political prisoners, which they are. But Trump didn't incite, and there wasn't any insurrection. And this makes me question this woman, Ursula Vance's intelligence. Meanwhile, here's Jimmy Dore talking about.
Hey, I'll see you on tour in Las Vegas, Chicago, and Grand Rapids. In Chicago, it's stand-up and a live panel show. Go to JimmyDore.com for a link for tickets, and make sure you go to JimmyDore.com. There's an article written by the one and only Whitney Webb at a limited hangout. It says the man behind Trump's vice president pick, it's worse than you think. Because here's what I was thinking about J.D. Vance. This is the Teamsters president. This is what he had to say about J.D. Vance. First of all, he's got great initials. But here he is on the Teamster president talking about J.D. Vance and how workers support him.
J.D. Vance, the short time that we've worked together, I mean, he's been great on Teamster issues. He is supporting, co-sponsored an airline manufacturing bill that addresses outsourcing of critical airline maintenance to China. He's also supported paid sick leave for our railroad workers. If you remember that situation,
sure,
a couple of years ago where they weren't getting sick time, he stepped right up. He's also been very vocal and supportive of holding employers accountable who try and skirt their obligation under an independent contractor model known as DSP. So he's been right there on all our issues. We've publicly stated it. And look, I at this day and age, there's nothing better than
So that's what the Teamster president said about J.D. Vance. Here's what Glenn Greenwald said.
In this speech on YouTube, if you want to understand J.D. Vance's thinking, I really encourage you to go watch this. It is a well-thought-through speech intended to express his ideology about the Republican establishment, the Democratic establishment. But here's one passage that I found very telling and very interesting.
Senator Mitch McConnell was elected literally the year that I was born. And Mitch McConnell is extremely confident about nearly every single foreign policy view that he holds, despite the fact that he's been a senator since I was born, and nearly every foreign policy position he's held has actually been wrong. Okay? So whatever your views, if I can impart something really, really important to you or anybody else who's listening on social media or otherwise, it's that we have to be open to new arguments. When people say something that challenges our preconceived notions, if your response is to sort of think about it, that's good. Whatever conclusion you ultimately come to. If your response is to kind of seize up and immediately repeat the slogans that we've all heard for the last 4 years, you are part of the problem. And we have to beat back the problem if we're going to fix what's going on in the country. So let me sort of articulate two, and this is not meant to be a full scale or full.
So that was interesting that he's against Mitch McConnell. Here's one more thing about the Ukraine war and J.D. Vance.
Here at Fox News in October of 2023 reported this. Republican senators introduce a standalone bill to aid Israel without more funding to Ukraine. Quote, Republican lawmakers oppose combining Ukraine and Israel aid. Republican senators Roger Marshall, Ted Cruz, J.D. Vance, and Mike Lee introduced a standalone bill to funnel aid to Israel without tying it to Ukraine aid on Thursday. The bill, called the Supplemental Appropriations Act, is an alternative to President Biden's $106 billion emergency supplemental bill he requested from Congress last week. That was the bill that we covered. Now, obviously, J.D. Vance is a supporter of financing Israel's military and its wars. I would say you probably can't survive in Republican politics without taking that view. Certainly, Trump has that view. Joe Biden has that view. Kamala Harris has that view. And I've made my views of that very, very clear. That's obviously a place where I vehemently disagree with J.D. Vance, to put it mildly. But given the alternatives that Trump had to choose from in the Republican Party, he could have obviously gone with some hardcore Trump follower like Matt Gaetz or Marjorie Taylor Greene or Carrie Lake. I think there, from a political perspective, that would not have been wise, because that really would not have expanded the appeal of the Republican Party. J.D. Vance not only will, for obvious reasons, but also there is a genuine record of him defending the kind of anti-establishment populist politics that got Donald Trump elected in 2016. We'll see throughout the campaign exactly how he articulates that. He's obviously going to be constrained by what Trump supports, and then obviously, in a lot of ways, his vice presidential pick is even more important than usual, given that Trump's age makes it highly unlikely that he could go beyond 4 years. And beyond that, he would be term limited. But there's also a chance, given Trump's age, that he wouldn't make it through the 4 years. And symbolically, certainly, this is Trump taking this movement that more or less he has single-handedly brought into the mainstream. It was bubbling in Republican politics for a long time, but he was able to articulate and sell it. And he's essentially naming his successor. That's the significance of J.D. Vance being so much younger, from that next or even two generations removed from Trump. And so I do think J.D. Vance's selection is more important than the usual vice presidential selection. And I think deconstructing his actual ideology as reflected in his actions and votes and bills, not just in his rhetoric, is more important than ever.
Well, I think there's no doubt that Trump has made a fateful decision in selecting Vance. Personally, I think it was a calamitous blunder, but I'm keen to have your opinion, Scott.
Well, everyone has a Saul of Tarsus potentiality, as Brian talked about before. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and high places. And anyone can be knocked off their horse and come to a spiritual salvation, which naturally inclines their mental decision-making into more of a righteous, conservative vantage points. It's been Christian Zionism that has poisoned and polluted and deformed and twisted and adulterated and bullied the American foreign policy and domestic policy into self-destruction. The whole transgender homosexualization of a culture comes from the Talmud, multiple genders. That's not Jewishness, that's evil. There is no Jewishness after the resurrection and the existence of Christ. That's satisfied. Every sacrifice of every dove was a symbolic gesture of the sacrifice of Christ. The Old Testament was the New Testament concealed. New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. I can go on and on in these, but from a political point of view, Jim, again, we have to return to reason and conservatism and preserving our republic, our constitution, our limitations of government, our predominance and the preeminence of individual rights that are policed by family and community and society and counties. And as de Tocqueville said, and as the original American government was set up to do, all power was seated in the sheriff's power, and the sheriff was controlled by the people and the committees of safety that determined every law and ordinance and policy, whether it was constitutional or not. And if it was not, it was not enforced. And if they tried to tyrannically enforce it, those sheriffs or those politicians would be tarred and feathered. That's how America policed itself originally. And we have become more and more boiled in the water and slowly poisoned by the Jewish Talmudic scorpion on our back that has stabbed us. And it's a question of, are we written off by God as a nation to be the habitation of every foul and unrighteous and demonic presence? Or are we going to have a Nineveh moment of repentance and rejuvenation, or a Sodom and Gomorrah end? There are pockets of righteous people that will always be righteous, and the soil that our feet touch will always be preserved and protected by God. But that doesn't mean our nation will. And if people like Vance or Trump or others pursue and try and put this nation on a trajectory of endless war in the name of Israel and Christian Zionism, it will only result in a great civil war and splitting of the nation. And that is inevitable, because, and Tucker Carlson said this too, Christianity and the transgenderism are mutually exclusive. So is Christian Zionism, and the nature of our Constitution is being separated. So this is a separation of the sheep and the goats. We'll see. But I don't think what you knew it as America, what I knew as America. Everyone I've talked to who has a brain, who's always conservative, of course, has said the same thing. The old America is passing the new wineskin, with the new wine is emerging. And we have only to look forward with great optimism. As the rest of the world falls into darkness and cowers in madness, we must be those lights of sanity and hope and peace and joy. Rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. So let us be strong in the Lord, Jim.
Brian, your thoughts.
Regarding JD and Usha Vant, American intelligence media has done a tremendous amount of work writing them up in terms of their history, where they're from. And they make a very strong case that they're both basically handlers, that JD Vance has been given a bunch of inside trading information, which is how he got the money and the resources that he gets. But he's being handled by Usha Vance and her parents. They both met at Yale Law. Talk about a strange place to meet. She's a Hindu. He's supposedly a Christian. He wrote that book, Hillbilly Elegy. Yeah, I haven't seen much of the movie or watched the book. I really couldn't care less. So the story is that he's got some sort of, humble beginnings, but the truth is, you've got Yale Law, you've got Peerbright Institute, you've got Pilgrim Society, you've got handlers and insiders all over the place, and the guy doesn't have a resume that would make him a good fit for vice president whatsoever. So why did Trump choose to select him, especially when he originally rejected Trump, and so did his wife? These things I don't know, but I can tell you that I think Trump made deals with the devil. I mean, obviously, when he put Jeff Sessions in, he made a deal with the devil. When he put Bill Barr in, he made a deal with the devil. When he put in Mike Pence, he made a deal with the devil. So apparently Donald Trump doesn't mind doing deals with the devil. And that seems to be his thought. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I'm very, very worried. And I can only very briefly address what I take to be our last story. Trump says he hopes U.S. wipes Iran off the face of the earth if they assassinate him. That's putting a big target on his own back.
Yes.
Because if they regard Vance as a more reliable Zionist than Trump, why not take him out, have the U.S. attack Iran, and have their cake and eat it too? So I'm very, very troubled. They're taking new measures after the assassination attempt, but it is not at all clear how bona fide the whole situation was. In fact, I'm disturbed. The Secret Service, of course, is undergoing various critiques and all that. Very, very troubling. But let me get here. You're supposed to have been shot in the ear, right? We got photographs suggest that happened. There are more photographs, including this rag here that seemed to be free of blood, that raised questions. Kevin Barrett has a nice piece about sifting and winnowing and what was really going on here. But let me get to the bottom line. Here he is with Bibi Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago. No bandage, no wound, no injury,
I'm afraid we're the situation where we may have to conclude he deserved the Academy Award. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, I told you so, right? I think we all told each other the same thing. This is either a psyop or a real thing. And if it concludes that there's no wound on the ear after a week or two, any soldier that's been in combat who's seen wounds or felt wounds knows that takes 3 months to heal. And you'll always have a scar and there's nothing there. What I see coming, Jim, potentially is, as I felt, if this assassination of Trump was a psyop, then it was a preparation for another psyop, a psyop within a psyop. So let's just say this assassination of a Trump that they said is now going to link the phone records of this kid to Iran, some Iranian backer, some Iranian news channel, some Iranian something. It's going to be connected to this kid that Mossad will conveniently provide, since Mossad always provided the videos of American GIs being blown up by Iranians, but it was actually Mossad doing it, which gave them the convenient excuse to kill Soleimani, which Trump gallantly propped into like a prancing gelded horse. And I say that advisedly. Now we see this original PSYOP assassination of potential Iranian links setting up the stage for the next assassination, which you're right. And when he says, I hope they wipe Iran off the map if they try and assassinate me, and Netanyahu has already said the Iranians are going to try and assassinate Trump, they're setting him up for this next assassination, which he may miraculously be delivered by, to open up this war against Iran, which would be against Russia and China and India and everybody else. This is how this potentially could go. This is the danger of that. This is why Americans cannot allow it and must stand against it. There cannot be a surrendering to the Zionist agenda again. Jim?
As much as I would like to get Brian Stein's got a commitment, we have to close this show, gentlemen. I can't thank you enough. Splendid performance.
Go ahead, Brian. Give half a minute.
Well, of course it's a PSYOP. Of course it's a PSYOP. And there's some goals here that have been achieved. Number one, Donald Trump does now have actual increased security because it would embarrass the hell out of everybody. How do we know it's a PSYOP? We've got no answers. I mean, a street grade detective would have had a report written up by now with everything you need to know. And yet you've got the entirety of the FBI and the Secret Service that have nothing. I mean, they're sending in witnesses. You got Kimberly Cheadle. Of course it's a PSYOP.
Yeah.
I think the Democrats plan to release the mob. I think they plan to have their NGOs out there stirring up George Floyd-esque type of hell.
Yep.
And maybe that was going to happen after an assassination attempt on Kamala Harris.
Yes. Yes.
Then they could have released how, MAGA's at war. Now it's a civil war. Assassination attempt happens on Trump. He gets the bloody ear, makes the Jews think that he just got pierced in the ear like a bond slave. Back in the Bible, that means he's anointed as a Messiah. And the second thing is that they're comparing him to Cyrus, who was a Gentile Messiah type character in the Bible. So they've got Isaiah 45, they've got Exodus 20, they've got all sorts of things, and they're anointing this guy as like a new Messiah because he's now had his ear pierced, and he's a bond slave to Israel. Whatever is going on, I mean, in a perfect world, we'd see some sort of massive double cross, triple cross of Israel or something like that. That's not going to happen. There's too much money floating around, running around this system. And Donald Trump is a lot more worried about money than he is about right and wrong.
Wow. Brian, I wouldn't have missed that for the world. Don, take us out.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you have taken us out of the mainstream, put us into an elite class of people who are more knowledgeable than the average here. And we want to share that because you need the information that we have. You're not going to get anywhere else, folks. So thank you for watching Truth versus News here on Tuesday, July the 30th, and middle of the Olympics, middle of the summer, all kinds of things are happening. It's hot out there, so do what you do, show what you can, and Let me see you next week. God bless.